I know it's so weird because if you draw a line from Indianapolis straight down on the map, it seems like you run right into Pensacola. So it's like, how in the world are we in Central Time? I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, that reminds me when I was calling games out in Boise, Idaho, Boise Hawks. That was the Northwest League at the time, which has kind of been split up now with minor league baseball falling apart in a way. And Boise was the only team in Mountain Time. You kind of think like, okay, Boise might be in Mountain Time, but you kind of think Pacific when you're out there. We're the only team in Mountain Time. So everywhere we went, whether it was Spokane or Seattle or Portland or Eugene, was in Pacific Time. So the 10-hour bus ride, you add another hour because you lose the hour on the way.
Oh, that's yeah, brutal. I'm sure some of those drives were brutal, but I'm sure that they were also nice. I'm sure that I mean I've been in Idaho before, and I've been in those different states, and I mean some of the landscaping is absolutely beautiful there out in the western side of the states.
Yeah, I remember we had a class together at Butler when I was a senior. Obviously you were a couple years younger. We're talking in class one day about when I got hired for the job. I was like, "Well, minor league bus rides in Northwest League are no joke. Our shortest ride was 6 hours to Spokane. Our longest drive was 14 to Vancouver." So, yeah, I still remember talking with you about like, "Oh man, like here we go,"
Wow.
kind of get exposed to the legend of minor league baseful went right off the bat.
Yeah, and obviously in Pensacola here we have a double A team, the Blue Wahoos. They're an affiliate of the Marlins, and there's something that's really cool about minor league baseball that I mean, like of course the majors are great and everybody wants to get to the show, but in terms of the fan interaction and just being able to go and hang out and have a good time, minor league baseball is they do a fantastic job of providing a good place for fans to just come and have a fantastic time.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about the Pensacola experience. I had a buddy that used to call games down there, so I've heard all about how nice of an environment it is. And you talk about cross country. I mean, in Indy, obviously the Indians are here. The South Bend Cubs, who I was with the last 2 years, have a great ballpark. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps in Fort Wayne, Indiana, have a really, really nice park. And to think about it now and what the minor leagues have kind of had to go through over the last year, 60 or so teams have been completely cut. They've completely redone the minor league system, and that ultimately comes back to bite not only the fans, but at the end of the day, the players too. And Drew, I mean, Major League Baseball just announced that the next draft upcoming this summer is going to be 20 rounds. You may think, all right, 20 rounds, that's a ton, but you got to think about originally the Major League Baseball draft is supposed to be 40 rounds. Last spring it was 5, and even if you go to 20, that's still 20 less rounds than usual. And think about all those ball players that, look, not all of them are going to get to the major leagues. Very few of them actually will get to the major leagues out of 40 rounds. But that's 20 rounds worth of players that aren't going to get a chance to get to the big leagues. And, when you think about minor league baseball and fans getting to watch those stories, you're really not going to see those underdog stories as much anymore.
Yeah, and that is, it just seems like it's not the nature of the beast as much as it is just really unfortunate that financially, so many of these teams just can't stay afloat, and with all the adjustments that are going on, it's unfortunate for those guys who, and for those players who don't end up making it to the majors, they just flat out love the game of baseball, and that's the reason why they're doing it. As far as pay is concerned, if they wanted to, I'm sure that they could go and get a job somewhere else and be making plenty more than what they do playing in the minor leagues. But they really do it for the love of the game.
They really are. And getting to know players from, I was in the Cape Cod League, which is a collegiate summer league in 2016, and you go there to become a potential MLB draft pick, and then short season ball in Boise, and then the last 2 years in the Cubs organization, you come across these guys, and a lot of fellows I know have already been released or they're not in the game of baseball anymore, but they kind of have that experience. Particularly, we won the Midwest League Championship in 2019, and the rings that they gave us, the Cubs paid for the rings, and the rings they gave us were the same size as the 2016 World Series ring. So even if you get released, you're playing for that love of the game. You got that huge piece of metal that's just laying around, and I actually have it here in my apartment. So yeah, no doubt about it. And hopefully Pensacola has a nice season here upcoming in Double A.
Man, yeah, it's really going to be interesting to follow this season. Of course, I think that I don't want to say the biggest story, but the Dodgers and their just pitching staff and their rotation, and I mean they seem like they should be the favorites to repeat. The Cubs, I guess, what are your expectations of the Cubs this year. Maybe not the best start that Cubs fans would have been looking for, but in terms of what you expect from the Cubs this year, and not only from them, but also just Major League Baseball and some things to look forward to by the end of the year, what is on your mind in regards to the baseball season?
Yeah, I mean, Drew, I'm from Chicago, so I've been through the Cubs organization growing up as a fan, working in the organization the last few years, and I can tell you one thing about the start of a year. The first 10 games, people are either going to tell you suck, or people are going to say you're the next World Series champion. That's how it goes. There's no other way around it in the city of Chicago, whether you're a Cubs or White Sox fan. In this particular case, the Cubs have a contact rate of 69.9%. That's like an advanced analytic type of thing, but nobody in the last 20 years across all of Major League Baseball has had a contact rate under 70. The Cubs are the first team in 20 years in their first 10 or so games. Now, of course, Cubs fans are going to say that's not good enough, and I'm saying that's not good enough. But the problem is, Drew, as you know very well, being a Reds fan, there's 150 to go. We got a whole summer to go, and people need to hold on. I understand that in the Cubs case, look, David Ross is now a second-year manager. It doesn't sound like the extensions are coming for Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, or Javi Baez. But one thing that is different about this year compared to a couple years ago, even after the Cubs won in 2016, even going to the NLCS the next year, 2018 they fall apart, 2019 they fall apart. Last year they get swept out of the playoffs by the Marlins in, the weird 60-game COVID year. But the Cubs now have revitalized their minor league system. They got a couple kids coming up that are high-end prospects, top 100 guys in all of baseball. So, let's say that contract extension with Javi Baez doesn't get done. And now the extension for Francisco Lindor, what that means for the future of shortstop money, it probably means that Javi Baez is going to make a lot more, which he probably deserves. He was an MVP candidate in 2018. Since that point, he hasn't been very good, at least in terms of hitting the ball late in the season. So I don't know if the extensions are coming, but if there's one guy I've been really impressed with, Drew, that's Craig Kimbrel, Cubs closer, who everybody and their mother told me on Twitter last year that he was done and that he couldn't pitch anymore. Look, he has 10 strikeouts in 5 games, 6 innings, 3 saves. He has only walked one guy. He has not even allowed a hit, and he's having a revitalized season, a future Hall of Fame closer. So, you take the good and the bad, and you look ahead for the Cubs, but if one thing's for sure, you need to find a way to start hitting the ball.
Oh yeah, for sure. And in terms of closers, there's always seems to be some sort of prowess that they have. And Kimbrel, with the whole arm hanging over on the side, I would be intimidated to step into the plate to face a guy like him, regardless of whether he's been good or not. I mean, and I played baseball up until I got to high school, and I never really faced anybody who can throw heat like that. But in terms of certain players, and I don't know if baseball is comparable to other sports in this way, but if you have an off season or if you're getting a little bit older, all it takes is maybe a couple of good performances, just like in any sport, and all of a sudden you've got that fire back. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've struggled for. It's like going through a slump with hitting. As soon as you start getting hits and you start rattling them off, you got the confidence and you can go perform at the same level that you were in your prime.
Absolutely. And, Craig Kimbrel is going to the Hall of Fame. And don't get me wrong, him the last 2 years, he's been awful. He's been terrible. He lost everything. He had the yips. He couldn't throw. He still tossed a 97 in there, but guys were picking up. I've heard from scouts and people that I know that he was tipping his pitches. How? I don't know. I'm not that in depth where I can tell if a guy's tipping his curveball. But whatever he has done in the offseason, and it could be, Drew, as simple as, remember, when Craig Kimbrel signed with the Cubs, it was the middle, very middle of the 2019 season. He didn't get a normal spring training. He was working out at home. He comes in expecting to close for what the Cubs had their goal as in winning the World Series. That doesn't happen, obviously. Then you go into 2020, and he's like, okay, Craig wasn't great at the end of 2019, but he didn't have a normal spring training. We now go into 2020 normal. You're saying that in December, right? Then pandemic hit. Well, no normal spring training. And then Manfred and all the crap that went on in Major League Baseball, even negotiating to play a 60-game season with the players' organization. Craig Kimbrel didn't get a normal spring training then either. He barely got a normal season. It wasn't even a normal season. So he's expected to perform then. Now, even though you have the COVID spring training, you at least get a consistent workout load if you're Kimbrel and you have the approach of a season. All right, opening day is April 1st. I'm going to pitch every other day. And for the first time in 2 years, I have a legit schedule. I think that's the biggest difference of why you're seeing another healthy Craig Kimbrel season.
Yeah, and some of the – I don't want to call it talk, but there's been pitches over the last couple of seasons. I think it seems every now and then it comes out. Just how many games Major League Baseball has, as you talked about. I mean, it's like overreaction Monday for football season, but it's like on overload because there's that many games. In terms of your thoughts on, I guess, as a fan and as somebody who does play-by-play for baseball and has been covering baseball and been around, obviously, the Cubs organization, do you like the idea of lowering the amount of games in a season? And if so, how many do you think is the perfect number? And are there any other changes, I guess, as far as scheduling is concerned, that you would like to see the MLB adjust?
Well, I think we all realized last year, I hope that people realized, that anything under 100 games just turns into kind of a wild goose fest. I mean, you're playing legit every day, and towards the back end of the 2020 season, people are saying, hey, there's no days off. Why aren't these guys getting days off? Well, they chose to play a 60-game season. That's how it went. So if anybody mentions anything under 100 games, and they ask why, baseball's different. I feel like everybody watches sports with an NFL mentality, which is fine. If you watch sports with an NFL mentality, look, I get it. The NFL is entertaining. It's fun. But baseball is a completely different sport. It's not like the NFL where guys are getting pushed around and basically trying to kill each other for 16 weeks out of the season. And in Major League Baseball, it's a lot more content. It's a game that requires that daily dose of energy and that daily dose of practice if you want to be really, really good. So I don't know if there's a number, Drew, that I had on my mind. I think by now, you know, I'm very close with Pat Hughes, who is the radio play-by-play voice of the Chicago Cubs. And, you know, he's been calling Cubs games since before we were born, before I was born. You know, his first year was 93. I was born in November of 94. And, you know, he's a guy that has lived out the Major League dream. He's used to a 162. So I think pretty much everybody in the game is used to 162. And, you know, if you want to lessen it to 150, I guess that's fine. You mix in 12 off days during the course of a season. Maybe that's noticed. Maybe it's not. I mean, I can tell you in the minor leagues, we play 140 games. And, you know, 140, if you add 22 games to 140, you're like, you know, what's 22 games? So,
right.
You know, even in minor league baseball, too, you know, we're playing every day. You get max 2 off days a month. And the only difference in minor league baseball, the reason you play at 140 is because the season ends 3 weeks before the major league season does. So, you know, if you're asking me 140, 162, I don't see a huge difference there.
Yeah, and to me, I think if it were lowered, I think it might appeal a little bit. I don't know what the number would be either. But to me, this is the way that I typically go about it. Opening day is absolutely incredible. I pay attention to baseball throughout the season. I might watch a game here or there, but I'm not, you know, all in on it. And I think that in a way that baseball provides a little bit of that luxury that you can be a casual fan, and then once the postseason hits is when I go all in. I'm watching everything. I think for a casual fan who's not as involved in it or as much of a passionate fan as some other people are, I think that's a good reason to have as many games as there is, because you can check in. And if you're able to go to a game, I mean, I've never denied going to a baseball game before, because going to the games and just being there and enjoying the you know, enjoying the food, enjoying the people, enjoying the festivities, enjoying all the little things that go into a baseball game, I think are a lot of fun. And I think even for somebody who's working, it makes it a lot more fun as well.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I haven't had a lot of opportunity to do over the last 3 or 4 years, and that's actually going to a baseball game and watching a baseball game as opposed to working one and being in the booth, which, as you know, is two completely different things. And, you know, people might say, you know, being a broadcaster, all you do is watch the game. So, oh, well, you know, that's not entirely true.
Right.
You know, it's way different if you're in the stands and enjoying a beverage and, you know, something to eat. So, you know, anytime I've been able to have an off day and either go to Wrigley or even go to an Indianapolis Indians game at the AAA level, I've enjoyed. And, you know, now that the Tampa Bay Rays are doing some pretty good things. And, you know, who knows what happens with the Marlins if Jeter's able to turn that thing around. But, you know, there are going to be some capable baseball teams in the Sunshine State here soon.
Absolutely. And before I let you go, of course, Slick Leonard passed away, and I know how much it means to Indianapolis. Just as far as legends go in terms of Indiana sports, he's got to be near or at the very top of that list. He had been broadcasting Pacer games for a long time. Having grown up in Indianapolis, the whole boom, baby, after a three is made, it's like it's just completely iconic. And I know you obviously have spent more time in Indianapolis media as of late than I have. But in terms of the people who you've worked with and even maybe even meet in your experiences with the Pacers or even doing interviews and coverage, summarize a little bit for some people who here obviously might not know Slick Leonard that well, what exactly he means to whether it's 107.5, the fan, or also just the city of Indianapolis in general.
Well, Drew, as you know, I'm an adopted Hoosier, and being from Chicago, you know, going to Butler, you kind of learn things on the fly when you get to Indy. Illinois high school basketball is not even on the same realm as Indiana high school basketball. And, you know, your listeners down in Florida right now, you know, look, Indiana high school basketball is such a big deal that they played it on the same day as the Final Four, and the Indiana Pacers had to go on the road because they play high school basketball in the Pacers arena. That's how big of a deal it is. So when you get, you know, into the state of Indiana from a different state, in my case, Illinois, you know, your freshman year, sophomore year of college, you really got to learn things on the fly. And one of those things I learned on the fly was about Slick Leonard and what he did with the Indiana Pacers, keeping them in the city of Indianapolis, winning three ABA titles. You know, the guy lived the life of basketball. He won a national championship with the Indiana Hoosiers. He has been such a, as you said, a difference maker with the fans, with the media, with basketball. You know, even Paul George, who left Indianapolis on terrible terms, Drew, as you
very
know, very
terrible.
Well. Terrible terms. Terrible. He was asked about Slick Leonard in his post-game presser when the Clippers played the Pacers the other day, and he had a very nice, you know, two-minute spiel on Slick. You know, that's how much Slick means to a guy who literally left the city of Indianapolis in flames, yeah. Okay? And, you know, Slick, as you said, a broadcaster with the Pacers, you know, my radio station here, 93.5 and 107.5, the Fan is the official station of the Pacers, and I never had a chance to meet Slick, talked to him on the phone a few times, and he was just a kind gentleman that, by all accounts, I know, always took time for any individual, and, you know, he sure meant a lot to the city, and I know everybody's going to miss him, but you just kind of hope now that Nate Bjorken's club can turn it around a little bit and win in the honor of Slick.
Yeah, they have the pieces there, and finally Caris LeVert is healthy, and thank goodness that he is healthy. But it's just a matter of time before I think things get turned around. But yeah, hopefully he can get things going in the right direction, and the Pacers can make a playoff push. But hey, I've taken enough of your time. Thank you so much for joining the show, BK, and I look forward to the next time that we can catch up.
Anytime, Drew. Appreciate it, man.